Welcome back to the Mom Mentality Show. My name is Austin Chadwick and my co-host is Chris Lucian. And we have two great guests today, Bob Allen and Dmitry Polovaev. And we have some excellent topics lined up today. I'm really excited about some upcoming events especially. So we'll be talking about the mob retreat, talking about how it came to be, the first ever global day of mobbing, which coming up is really going to be cool to talk about. And then we'll also be talking about refactoring for the mob retreat. So with that, we'll have each introduce themselves. So go ahead, Bob, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I've been doing mobbing for a number of years now and been sort of a regular at the annual conference up in the Boston area, which is how I got to know quite a number of people in the space, including Woody. And then about 2 or 3 months ago, I guess, I think probably Dmitry and I both got invited by Woody to participate in some stuff that was going on there because they were trying to figure out how the heck do you do a conference completely remote? And they knew they didn't know, so they wanted to do some experiments. And I was the beneficiary of quite a few of those sessions. And that's actually where Dmitry and I met. So it was great on so many different levels. Have done a lot of mobbing, and Dmitry and I collaborated to come up with this crazy idea called a mob retreat. And I'm going to let Dmitry take it from there.
Well, so I'm Dmitry, and I am leading the Munich Software Craft community. It means we always need ideas, and one of the ideas we investigated was actually mob programming, because nobody of us done it in our work, but we were curious to try different things. So it happened that we did some mob programming sessions in the community just at the site where everything went online, and then I got to know that there are some other online events. So it happened that I visited more programming sessions led by very different facilitators, including Woody and including some other brilliant folks. And I have seen that all of them are doing it slightly different manner. And therefore, I came up with this idea of trying different fashions in structured way so that people can see different styles of cooperation. And this is actually what this mob retreat idea is all about.
Right on. Yeah, so I guess that brings us right into the first topic. So maybe you guys have already covered it, but is that the story of how mob retreat came to be, or is there more to it?
Well, speaking for myself, I run a couple of different meetups on a monthly basis. Dmitry does the same thing in Munich. And so when we connected and realized that we were both doing very similar things, we of course started talking. And at some point in the conversation, Dmitry said, well, I've got this idea for something called a mob retreat. And he and I have both done a lot of different code retreats, the global day of code retreats. So we both knew what it was about, what the characteristics were. And so when he started to explain to me, here are the ways that it's the same as the code retreat, and here are the ways that it's different. That's brilliant. I like it. Let's collaborate. And we did. Way back in April, we did a joint first ever mob retreat. And it was fantastic. People really just ate it up. They wanted more. And Dmitry, why don't you take it from there? Because it did go quite a bit more.
Well, and for me, the amazing thing which I have seen so far was that the group was really coming together and trying to cooperate better with each round. So it was learning very well visible for the organizers. And therefore, I was sure that this idea is very likely to work to introduce different people new to mob programming, actually to mob programming, to show people how they can communicate and enjoy this communication. And we have seen very different people all across the world, because in the next Antepi also got in the next tribe one event in India and one event in Europe with all the different cultural backgrounds. And everywhere we have experienced the same observation, that people are learning, that people are comparing different styles and getting better in mob programming.
That's fantastic. So Maybe you can describe a little bit about how the event would, or how it's organized, or you know, what's the order of you know, when people sign up to when they arrive, that sort of thing. Maybe just to give people an idea of what a mob retreat is.
So I think Dimitri did a great job with literally designing it very, very carefully, so that it starts out with the recognition that when you have like a meetup group, it's a bunch of people that have maybe never even met, much less worked with one another, much less mobbed together. So they don't know how to do it very well. So to mitigate that, it starts out with the more strict way of going about having interactions between the navigator and the driver and everyone else as a mob.
Mm-hmm. Actually, for me, the starting point was that I have seen many other experienced mob programming facilitators starting with this approach and saying there must be just one person to navigate and one driver to follow, and the mob should keep silent and honor the navigator because it's easier as a structural thing. Yes, it was easy as a structure, but I always was wanting to participate. And for me, it was hard to accept that during the whole time, I need to shut up if I'm not navigating, because you are navigating just 20% of the time in a mob of five, just 16% of the time in a mob of six, you save, and therefore, I thought, yes, it's a nice exercise, it's a nice starting point, but it should be expressed that it's only the starting point, and that the navigator should, even at this point, always admit if there is something unknown to the navigator, to ask help from the mob. Yeah. That make it more safer, because navigator now knows he is not responsible just for generating brilliant ideas. Anytime he can ask mob for help, even in this very first round. And this makes even this very first round different from some mob retreats and mob programming experience I have seen so far.
Yeah, so you've seen a lot of dojo style mobbing where very strict navigation, and you wanted to expose new mobbers to the maybe more realistic day-to-day mob programming experience in an environment that does it all the time. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The feedback that we did, because we would do a mini retro at the end of each session. So the things it has in common with COVID is that it's session-based, rough a little more than an hour, basically. And there's a mini retro at the end of each one of those things. So we took sort of a cue from Woody's brother Fred and did a what were the two things that you want to ask? What was the best thing that happened today? And how did you feel about it? Which I thought was great, because it's a classic turning up the good. But what we got at the end of the day, a larger retro, consistently across many events, was that we actually didn't appreciate initially the strictness of the first session, and only now understand why that was necessary. And it felt better to get freer and freer, but we weren't ready for it initially because we didn't know each other. And that, to me, says everything about what makes the mob retreat format work really well, is that it has a purpose and it works consistently. So that's why we just keep on doing it. And so
well, for me, sorry, it was a little, sounded a little bit like the end of the recording, because we just explained, yes, it works and it's great. So it was the, like final point, like exclamation mark. Yes, the final result. But obviously it's not.
So a lot of this is, you know, so it's kind of a learning experience, right? So you decided to do this like fairly recently, and you know, the goal is to get people to mob for longer periods of time than just maybe a 4 hour or less session that people would normally experience at a conference or something.
Yes, the goal is deliberate cooperation, because knowing of having an idea of different approaches, people can take the best for them.
Yeah, so you put together a mobbing retreat once before, you said, correct? So in that experience, what were some of the things that you noticed, you know, good and bad from that experience, and what did you take from it going into this one?
Well, not just good and bad, but different, because as I told you, I have seen different approaches of making it happen. A very amazing event was made, online event made by Lizzie Hocke, just for the Munich group. And I'm very happy to have experienced this, because he told us things like a driver is not limited to be a typist, because if the navigator is like chair and person getting input from everyone, driver could propose their opinion. And Lizzie would also showed us different approaches and a nice thing about how the mob can learn together. It was amazing workshop, and ideas and my observations has also made it into our format.
Nice. I had some logistical questions. So these mob retreats, they typically a day long, 8 hours, or how long are they typically?
Yes, it should be 8 hours, because the experience shows people are willing to discuss and to reflect a lot. And nice. So we have just 4 times 45 coding time, so like 3 hours, and we have like about an hour of facilitator explaining stuff. And so we certainly need a break. And all the rest is time which people want to discuss about their learnings. And we don't want to stop them. And for these 4 rounds and just the right amount of rounds for 8 hours. And people are happy.
Nice. So nice.
They made their learnings and they have a lot of stuff to share.
Cool. And about how many? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Bob.
To say, on the topic of sort of the mechanics of how a global day of, or a code retreat works, which is a day-long event, it's session-based, and there's the progression that we talked about, but what happens within that is that you're doing TDD, you have a navigator, you have a driver, and you've got the mob, and you're changing up the rules with each of those sessions. There's specific directions for each of those three designated roles to say what is permitted and what is not permitted. Mm-hmm. Intended to elicit certain behaviors, such as getting the navigator to be willing to ask for help if they have no idea how to proceed. And that's a healthy development for those reasons for everyone.
And in the second round, and in the third round, navigator is not allowed to use own ideas. In the second round, navigator is a chairman, just letting people know, letting people participate and moderating the discussion and asking the questions. And in the third round, the navigator is just a silent observer of the discussion, making decisions after everything has been already said and discussed by the mob. And therefore, in the fourth round, the navigator is not there anymore. We only have a mob, and the mob needs to find their consent. And the mob is usually mob of 4 or mob of 5, including the driver. And driver is only allowed to type after there is no disagreement, and after people are willing to try by finding consent. And this is the development which is really amazing for this short period of time we're given.
Okay, fascinating. Yeah, that gives me a clear picture. That really helps. And I guess one last logistical thing was, if you know, how many people typically show up, and is it one giant mob, or is it broken up into several different mobs? How does like, I guess before we get into the global event, which is its own level of complexity, but the previous mob retreat, how many people come, and do you break up into smaller mobs?
So far, every single one of them has required us to use breakout rooms so that we can have people distributed no more than 4 or 5 people maybe as many as six under certain conditions, but typically four or five is the target. So we've always had on the order of 20 or thereabouts, so multiple rooms of four and five people.
Cool.
So the other thing that we have not talked about, and this is a design feature of the mob retreat format, is to give both individuals and mobs the experience of what does it feel like to lose a member of your mob, and what does it feel like to onboard somebody. So we, Dimitri came up with this innovation, and I thought it was a little crazy, but it worked really great. You would ask for a volunteer from each of the mobs to say, would you like to volunteer to go join a different mob, which may be working with a different language. They're all working on the same problem. We kept that part stable. But the idea was to give both a group of people the experience of onboarding and losing someone so that they could see what's that like in a mob programming context. And we got great feedback consistently. It was easier to onboard and less painful to lose someone.
And then it turned to be that because it was always a volunteering, the first mob constellation have been left by the most experienced people because it was easier for them to try another group. So they felt safer, and therefore, after being asked, yes, we definitely need one person, one volunteer from each group. The more experienced person have been leaving, and therefore, most experienced persons have been joining, and therefore they need to learn everything, and also they gave great feedback about what they found out so far. So it was a really interesting experience.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. Chris, did you have any other questions before we jumped into the global mob machine?
No, I just liked hearing about this. So this is really cool. So yeah, go ahead, Austin.
Yeah. So what is the Mob Retreat Global, and how did it come to be? It seems like, it kind of feels like this evolution, right? You know, have a, you know, mob programming workshop, and then it grew into this, and now it's got rounds, and now it blended with the code retreat, and now it's going global. So how did this come to be, and what is it?
For me, global is opportunity for people to have this experience, to share this experience with their local communities, and at the same time have global exchange and global support and global facilitation. Inventors of Mob Retreat, we have shared the presentation, which can be used by everyone who wants to facilitate. So all the descriptions and all the ideas are available as slides, as descriptions and speaker notes, so that it makes it easy or comparatively easy just to start from the scratch or using the slides and propose it. And it enabled people not just to have attended and had this experience, but also some other people in Germany and in Austria, in Europe, to want to try it. And then we also built a site where we can see all the events which are happening. And it's done actually like the court retreat site, so that you can see all the places and have a huge map where you can scale down to each location. So we have started with this infrastructure because we think it might grow over time.
So there's actually an in-between story of how we got to making the decision on doing a global day of Mob Retreat. After Dimitri and I did the joint event back in April, I believe someone that has previously worked with Dimitri and is running a consultancy in Pune, India, Christian Heuer, approached Dimitri and then through Dimitri and myself and said, I want to do one of these. This is great. I really enjoyed it. I want to do it in India. And Christian is one heck of an organizer. I think, I believe he's personally responsible for like 13 different global day of code retreat events around Pune by untwisting all of his clients or through them getting them to sponsor events. And I thought, Germany's always been way ahead when it came to code retreats, but what's going on in Pune? And then I learned about Christian and the fact that it was him all the way. So when he approached us and said, let's do this, we got together and we said, we need a plan. We don't want to just do another layer and that'd be the end of it. And it sort of fizzles out. And I don't know if it was Dimitri or Christian that suggested, well, how about we do a global day of mob retreat? That's great. And then we started having the conversations around what would it take to build up the capacity to where people knew enough about it to do it, to where it wouldn't just be us again at that whenever that day was. So first thing we did was we put a stake in the ground and said, okay, let's do this in August. Initially, we thought we were going to do it later. And they said, no, that's probably getting in the way of planning processes around Global Day of Code Retreat. We don't want to do that. That would be bad because we are all very active in that community as well. So we put a stake in the ground for August, July. And then we said, well, how do we build up the capacity? Said, well, okay, let's have events during May to get more people trained up. And then June will be all for them doing events themselves, you know, see it, do it, see it, try it, and then actually do it yourself. That was the plan. Well, not much of anything happened in June as far as mob retreats are concerned. But now we've got, currently on the board, correct me if I've got it wrong here, Dimitri, I believe we have 5 events at mobretreat.org.
Yes, and then we have got the 6th event, which is not registered there yet. So actually, it will be the 6th one tomorrow.
We've got 6 events for the first time ever. Code Retreat didn't have 5 events already and 6 more coming in the same year the idea was invented. So this is like nothing's ever happened like that fast.
Cool. Looks like Chris, you're,
Do you attribute anything that, is there anything special about this situation that you think you have more signups or anything along those lines?
I'm over 30 people that are signed up for the event that's here in the US.
Yeah.
I intentionally set up the timing on that so that it starts relatively late in the day for the East Coast, but that's so that you can get in the entire West Coast and all of Canada and all of South and Central America. So that was very strategic.
Nice.
And it's early enough that even people who have finished the one that's in Europe can also come for at least the first half or so of the one that's in the US. So I'm going global as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, cover as many time zones as possible.
Absolutely. And that's the big takeaway that I've had from not just mob recruit, but remote mob recruiting, or mob programming in general, is that my mind was totally blown on several different occasions about time zones don't make that much difference like I used to think.
Sure.
I was asked to participate in Chicago's planning of the Chicago Open Space group. And we were doing some pre-planning sessions at 6 o'clock in the evening. And we got into the habit of putting in where you're from in the name on Zoom. And I noticed someone was from Singapore. And I went, what?
Yeah.
It was like 8 o'clock in the morning there. I thought, oh man, my mind is blown. So all kinds of things open up that would not have occurred to me had I not started doing this. And getting people signing up from all kinds of unlikely seeming places.
Nice.
Well, when Bob is talking about the time zone is not a huge difference, I'm remembering that at the day we have all organizing our retreats in May, Bob appearing but at the time it was 10 a.m. here in Germany, it was 4 a.m. there, and he was joining us from very beginning because time zones don't make any difference, you know. And it was really nice to have them all the time. And then certainly he continued to his retreat and I was there, but it was much easier because getting sleep late is much easier than getting up so early.
So actually we had three events planned, one in a week apart in India. This is during May.
Yes, and then we got four because we've got a request from the West Coast of the U.S. That all the times are not fitting them well. And so we got another event at the same day. We've got two events in America.
So four just in that 1 month. And it's like, holy crap, this is getting even bigger than we realized.
That's fantastic. Nice.
Yeah, so I guess now would be the time. So we're going to publish this before the Global Day of Mob Retreat. So I guess let's hype it up. So people are still going to be able to go before. So it's July 18th. It's a day-long event, right? Any other things to add to the commercial, Bob and Dimitri, for the call to action to our viewers to join this event?
If you're interested in coming, don't come alone. Bring friends.
come alone if you don't have any friends, but if you do have friends, bring them.
Find this central site, which is certainly mobretreat.org, and then you get all information about all events, and they can join any of them because they are currently all online.
Exactly.
We're going to link that in the show notes too.
Dimitri did a magnificent job of pulling together all of the necessary pieces to make mobretreat.org work for us.
Well, it was the first time I have even sketched a logo myself. And actually, it worked.
Nice.
I think one thing that's I think really important to note is that if you're a developer and you're programming solo right now and you never really thought about doing this sort of thing, it's a good time to experiment. But also it's kind of weird because we're all remote now, right? And you know, given the current situation, it's good to just get those social experiences if you can. So this is, you know, mob programming is not just a way to get work done. And in my belief, it's a faster way to get work done. But also it's a social way to get work done. And so this can just be like a really healthy thing for people to be doing, especially kind of if you're solo dev, remote for the first time, and you're just by yourself all the time writing code, you might be kind of an echo chamber right now. So if you're curious about this stuff, I recommend, you know, taking any opportunity to try it, if anything, just to get that social exposure.
There's another really powerful motivation for wanting to participate in these events, anything that's mobbing related. An awful lot of people have been let go by businesses that are like trying to contain their cash flow, right?
Yep.
And if you want to network with people, I'm running an event with people from four different continents.
Yeah.
So sign up. Let's do it.
It's a fantastic way to get yourself out there and make yourself known, especially if you're interested in something in working in a style like this, because it's likely that people will be there that are doing things like mob programming full time and looking for people, right?
And it's fun. It's just huge fun. You know, you guys both know.
And then actually probably it's also time to give outlook to things which we are planning for the time after the MOP retreat, after the Global Day of MOP retreat, because here Bob and me are going into opposite directions. So, my idea is I've been asked if it's possible to have MOP retreat happening in just a short part of time, because not everyone wants to spend a whole day, and if there is some other way to make it happen. And so I come up with the idea, which is currently just in my brain in the discussion, to have a format where each rotation is just 3 minutes long, where everything is much shorter, and where you have just a group of three. And each driver is also a mover, so that you can have rotations very, very fast, so that it's possible to have all coding sessions within 2 hours and to have the whole thing within 3 hours. And this is the thing which I'm going to try after. For sure, it will not be comparable with Moffat Reef in its length, because it's kind of compromise. But on the other side, it should prove that 3 minutes for rotation and for turn are long enough, and that people can cooperate very well, because if you have a driver and a mob of four, or you have a mobber and a mob of three, it's basically the same. So I'm just curious to try it out with people who are interested. So therefore, my project is very, very short. But opposite to that, compared to that, and generally, the idea of Bob is like universal, like not 8 hours long, but how long? 48 hours long, I think, or something like this.
Oh, no, so, okay, so wait, time out. Bob conflate mob retreat for this other thing that is the direction that I'm going,
yeah,
which I'll now introduce, called a global liquid mob, which GLM. And it's not a mob retreat, and it's not about teaching how to do mobbing, but it's actually a series of experiments. The crazy idea that sparked this, and I actually mentioned this at last year's, I believe it was last year's, it might have been the year before, mob programming conference in Burlingame, and got a pretty warm reception on it, and then didn't do anything particular with it. And then when COVID hit and I started doing a whole lot of remote mobbing, I realized this idea can really take off. The crazy idea is really simple. Imagine that you have groups spread around the planet, roughly five of them or so, because 24 hours divided by five, it's about 4 hours apart in terms of time zones. What happens if the East Coast has a group of, say, three or four people? Three people is probably enough, but they're always working with someone that's to their east in the morning, their morning, and then they take a lunch break. And after lunch, they're working with someone that's on the West Coast, 3 hours separate. Now, the West Coast team looks at that and says, well, you guys on the East Coast there, you're our morning mob, and our afternoon mob is as close as we can get, like maybe into New Zealand or Australia or parts of Russia. And if you can do this so that you have overlapping mobs, where half of them is in one time zone and the other half is in another time zone, you've always got lots of knowledge transfer going on, plenty of overlap, more than you need. And you can go all the way around the planet, nonstop, or as long as whoever the participants are decide, that's as far as I want to go.
You are calling it a liquid mob, and you could also probably call it sunlight mob, because the mob is going with the sun.
Yes.
The sun never sets on the mob, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so the idea is like keep a code base going around the world, right? So like this one piece of code will get worked on for a 24-hour period straight. And that's fantastic.
With continuous deployment.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, can you imagine if that takes off, then you know, and companies are doing that. You might have releases all through the night of the software. You might have multiple iterations by the time it comes back around the globe.
You know that feature you were working on when you finished yesterday? Well, we've done three features beyond that. You're starting something completely different.
Yeah, you may start work finishing a feature and end work starting a feature, but the next day you'll be starting a new feature that is not, you know, something that you even you were involved with in the beginning. So yeah, so like basically this idea of like mob handoffs by switching out portions of the mob is going to become really important in that model, right?
Yeah, but because you've got four, okay, so we've designed a series of experiments which are designed to model two adjacent working days, a typical 8-hour day with a lunch break in the middle, right?
Yep.
And it's not very creative, it's not very innovative, it's intended to look like a normal working day because people tend to be used to that. It's familiar. We want to keep the unfamiliar as minimal as we can. So on a weekend, starting in August 1st and 2nd, we intend to, if we can get enough people, not even to go around the entire world, because we think that might be too ambitious. But if we can, we of course will. But if we can just get, say, a few adjacent regions that are roughly three, four hours apart, we'll go with that. And then maybe on the next weekend, we'll stitch them together a little bit more until we finally get all the way circling the planet. That way we can get that learning earlier rather than having to wait for the perfect conditions to where there's enough people in all the right places that you can make it all the way around the planet. Well, we're not going to throw those early learnings away.
I think that the experience of getting to the same piece of code after one whole day should be amazing, because you can see how far this have come all the time. So it will be a huge surprise probably, because nobody knows what exactly will happen, but you'll see it and you'll continue working on it. And therefore it's interesting to have both days so that everyone can make a big experience.
So I'm really looking forward to this series of experiments. We're going to try, I've got a website that has a form where you can fill out which weekends might you be available. I have to ask it from the point of view of when might you be available is because I have no way of being able to predict on which weekends enough people in adjacent areas will coalesce to make it possible to go all the way around. And then based on that information, when we actually hit threshold to have enough people to make it viable on a particular weekend, I'll call back or email back, because I ask for an email address, and say, can you please confirm that you will be available on this weekend? Because we now have a weekend that looks like it will be viable for both Saturday and Sunday. That is the ask. It's a big ask. But I'd like to make an even bigger ask if we can get it for some people. If you can actually participate in multiple weekends, the benefit is to have somebody, when you are doing it for the first time, that's already done this once. They're already familiar with the routine. That will be a huge benefit because, as you both know, repetition is something that's huge of value or payback from mob programming. Because you're working with the same people all day, every day, and that pays dividends. So if we can leverage that to some small degree for these experiments, I would be over the moon happy. Even one person, but ideally half of a mob, would be people that have done at least this once before.
Actually, I was currently not involved in organizing of this global event, but I have just learned it from email from you. But one other impressive thing about this event is the goal which you have set, because you want to develop a real software helping people to solve some very serious problems. So it shouldn't be just a learning experience. Which software and which goal are you setting right now?
Well, we decided that we needed to have something to act as an attractor. Like, why would someone want to invest 2 days of a weekend in this crazy scheme that no one's ever done before? We said, well, this COVID-19 thing, every country in the world is trying to do contact tracing because they realize it's a very powerful thing. It's obviously a mobile phone kind of a thing. And both Google and Apple have gotten together and figured out a framework that will allow them to do it in such a way that their privacy is being protected. And only when someone that your phone knows you've been in contact with for more than 5 minutes or so will notify you, says, oh, someone that you've been around for an extended period of time got diagnosed with COVID-19. So you should probably contact your local health department or your state or your country's health department, whatever, and get instructions on how to proceed, which would probably mean self-isolating, things like that. Well, that's one aspect of it, developing such software. Another is, there's a bunch of it that's already out there. A lot of it that's open source. You could continue to develop it. And third, there's even some where a country has got a bug bounty. In India, they have a bug bounty for their nationally developed solution. And they have one hellacious audience because they made it mandatory. So 100 million people already have this app. If you could find and fix a bug in something that 100 million people are using, what kind of feel goods would you get from that?
Nice. Wow. This is all fascinating. And I would love to keep talking longer and longer. You guys just seem full of so many fun ideas. But I think we're coming close to our time box. So we'll turn over to each of you one more time to plug anything else. And then we'll call it a close. So we'll start with you, Dmitry.
Well, actually, it's a pleasure and a huge enjoyment to contribute for me. I really like it. And therefore, thank you so much for having me here for this opportunity to tell other people, your followers, about new ideas which we are developing so far.
Thank you for being on the show. Bob, how are you?
So, we have a website that starts out with a page and a half or so of explanation of what the global liquid mob is all about. And then it goes on to give you, here's an example. It's got a nice colorful chart. Here's a team of some made up people's names with overlapping time zones. And this is how it could actually work. And then finally, there's a link to a form where it's designed to be an answer to the question, what can I do to volunteer? And it will allow you to provide me your email address, first and last name, contact information, and then which weekends you might be able to be available. And that will allow me to get back to you when we have a weekend that is designated as being viable and confirm, can you actually do this? Because we're going to do it. And we are currently targeting August 1st and 2nd, the first weekend of August. And we intend to make this thing happen completely around the planet the first time. So we're going to make it happen multiple events this calendar year. That's the target.
Fantastic. And we'll link that in the show notes.
Okay. And you've already got the URL, I believe.
Yes. All right,
so thank you so very much for having us on the show. This has been great. I love the show.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, to all of our viewers, you know, so this is an interesting thing. Bob and Dimitri want to get people together. So, you know, if you're seeing this when this first comes out before the events, definitely share this video with other people that you think will be interested. I think that it'll be really important to get reach with this one. And so, you know, tweet it out, retweet it, all that other stuff, and just make sure that we can get as much exposure as possible for an event like this, because the only way to make these ambitious goals happen is with people being involved. And so we want to kind of get this spread worldwide and see what can be made out of it. I don't know if you have any more, Austin. You want to?
No, close this out. It's good.
Okay. All right. So thank you very much for being with us here on the Mob Mentality Show, and we'll see you next time. Like, subscribe, and we will see you all later.